chapter 1 this morning. Second Timothy chapter 1. I do. There should have been. Oh, they're under the pillow. There. Thank you. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'll go ahead and read verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love to us and all you have provided for us by sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to die for us on the cross and to rise again. And Lord, you said that when you died on the cross, that you died for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we thank you for that, because this world is not going to last forever, and we're not going to live forever in this physical body. So we need that forgiveness for sins so that we can be forgiven by trusting in you, by asking you to forgive us. And then we can have a home in heaven, all because you paid for our sins with your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please help me and fill me with your Spirit, preaching and teaching, ministering the Word of God to your church this morning. This is your flock. This is your church. Pray for my dear wife. Fill her with your Spirit, relaying the message in sign today. Use her in a great way. Pray for Brother Brian with the children this morning. Watch over him. Fill him with your Spirit, caring for the children. I thank you for the Sunday school lessons that have gone forth already to the adults and to the children, and I pray that our faith might be increased, that our courage and our holiness might be increased as we draw closer to Christ. You'd make us and help us to live more like he did, more like your blessed Son did, in a way that would be pleasing unto thee. And so, Father, help us in these things, we pray. We thank you we could be here in thy house this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I should have gave for a praise, too. I'm glad that I wasn't mugged by the adult Sunday school class. I found out that when I have popcorn for an illustration in the children's Sunday school class, it's dangerous to step outside and not have something to offer the adults. But to that smell wafting out to the... it was a blessing. Amen. This morning I'm preaching on from fear to faith. God doesn't want us to be fearful. We have a great God. We serve a great God. Yeah. And by the way, he is in control. Did you know that God never promised to make this place heaven? This is not heaven. This is not our final home. This is our laboring ground. This is where we have a ministry to perform, to let Jesus Christ live through us so that others can see Him and trust Him as their Savior as well. And then when the time's right, He's going to come and get us. And He's going to take us home. It might be through the rapture, it might be through death. But He's coming for us. And that's what it's all about. That's what we're living for. And we are to be ever getting ready for that. We don't need to be fearful. We have a serve a mighty God. Hey, if He can walk out of the grave, what can He not do? Amen? Jesus told them, destroy this temple in 3 days and I will raise it up. You go ahead and kill me, but I'm coming out. And He said, because I live, you shall live also. Amen. But man, in our natural sense, we're kind of born with a spirit of fear. Now we see that. Or maybe we don't. Oh. See what's going on here. Maybe the. Is it on? Oh, there we go. Okay. From fear to faith. From fear to faith. I don't know how this is going to work. I have a little different background today. Oh, okay. I guess the dark's not showing up on that. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We're kind of fearful in our nature. We think about being born with that spirit of fear. Because why? Because mankind's a sinner, separated from God. Genesis 3:9, I'm sorry. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. The first time that we read about fear in the Bible, it's because why? Because man has sinned against God. And man's fellowship with God has been broken. And that's why we're born fearful. And by the way, rightly so. It's an awesome thing to be separated from the Almighty God who made you. And we see that. I forget what else I have up there. So he was fearful. Genesis tells us that God told him, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We know he didn't die physically that day, but we believe that he died spiritually in a sense. The connection that he had with God was broken by that sin. And that's a fearful thing. And so Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of us have sinned, and we're worthy of that death. Psalms 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. What's the first thing we learn as children? One of the first words we learned is what? No. Because there's something in us that wants to do what we're not supposed to do. Did you eat that cookie? No. Denial and lying at the same time. The disobedience and lying on top of it. You see that? And so it comes in us. And so that's why we have that fearful nature. It's interesting, all the phobias that are out there. Have you ever seen so much silliness? Here's a few of them. A lost person, characteristics to live in fear. Phengophobia, fear of daylight or sunshine. I guess you might have that if you lived in Oregon long enough. Mollisomophobia, fear of dirt or contamination. Ballistophobia, fear of missiles or bullets. I have that one, by the way. catapetophobia, fear of jumping from high and low places. Wouldn't that just be a fear of jumping? Some people have this one. Ecclesiophobia, fear of church. We meet a lot of folks like that at times, don't we? There's optophobia, fear of opening one's eyes. There's phobophobia, fear of phobias. There's phrenemophobia, fear of thinking. There's sesquipedalophobia, fear of long words. There's verbophobia, fear of words. Should have put that one first. There's electorophobia, fear of chickens. There's panophobia, fear of everything. There's palatophobia, fear of bald people. I think a few people I visited on church didn't come because of that. Crazy fears. And there's this one. There's xanthophobia, fear of the color yellow or the word yellow. Does anybody have that? I found the test for that, by the way. Here's the test for that. You ready? Brace yourself. Look at the screen. Here's a test for that. You ready? Okay, we're looking like we're good. Yeah. Looks like we're all still there. All right. Whoops, back up there. We'll go back one more. I'm not going all the way back in. We'll just go right there. It's character of a lost person. Revelation 21:8 says, that, you know, remember that whole list there, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, and it goes on a whole list, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Because it's characteristic of a lost person to be fearful. At first, at one time I pondered that idea of the Bible says the fearful will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I thought, well, maybe that means people that are fierce, actually, that cause fear in other people. You know, people that are violent, maybe that's what it means. But it's not what it means. It has the idea of timidity, of being one that is fear. It means exactly what it sounds like, one that is fearful all the time. Because that is not compatible with the Spirit of God. A lost person is fearful about so many things. That word that's translated, but the fearful, in Revelation 21:8, is only used one other place in the Bible. And it's in the boat, in the storm. And Jesus says to them in Matthew 8 and Mark 4, why are ye so fearful? They were afraid of harm coming to them when God was in control. That's what that word means. And it's the same word used in Revelation. Well, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me. That's not Christ-like. And God has given us what? The Spirit of power. Power. And we're not to be fearful. That doesn't mean we never feel fear. But when we feel fear, we are to do what? We're to go to the Savior, amen? We go to Him. Many times He says in the Bible, fear not. He knows we fear, but don't stay in fear. Don't let it direct your life. Go to God. Jesus is with us. Mark 11:22. Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. When we studied the armor, we learned that we are to put on the shield of having the shield of faith. And we learned that that means the shield of faith in God. The in God is understood. You could have faith in anything else and that wouldn't help you or me. But if you have faith in God, all help is in God. All help is in our Lord. And so we trust Him. We fear so many things, getting cancer, losing a job, having enough insurance, the new boss won't like me, the stock market is plunging, failure to meet deadlines, expectations, hope the car don't break down on this trip, and fear for the kids outside playing, they'll fall down and get hurt, or whatever. We're fearful about so many things. And we are to trust God. Listen, the lost ought to fear because they have no power or control. We know the one who has power and control. Listen, folks, the earth right now is rotating on its axis at a rate of 1,000 miles per hour at the equator. It is orbiting the sun at a rate of about 67,000 miles per hour. The sun is orbiting the center of the Milky Way at a rate of 492,000 miles per hour. The Milky Way, our galaxy, is moving at a speed of about 1.3 million miles per hour. What am I saying? If someone's not in control, be afraid. we're flying through space like that and nobody's in control, be afraid. But we know who's in control, amen. Lost people don't know God. They don't have that. That one that we go to, that refuge. When great armies came up against Hezekiah, armies he had no chance of winning against as far as the multitudes go. He came to his God and said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And you know, when it comes to facing our enemy and facing our trials and dealing with the circumstances of life, we don't have any might for that. And we don't have any wisdom for that. But we need to do just like Hezekiah did, amen? Sometimes it's good to say that just to remind ourselves of that. Because we're not telling God anything He doesn't know. But we go to Him, God, I don't have the answer. And I don't have the might or the power, but You do. I need Your direction. I need Your leading, Your guidance, Your deliverance, Your power, whatever it might be. Lost people are servants of sin. And we've been freed from that. We can trust God. In Romans 6:17, the Bible says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart, you believed, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. What a wonderful, wonderful freedom. See, lost people are servants of sin and self. Well, I do what I want. Yes, you will. You're a slave to yourself. Because sometimes you know very well you do things you didn't want to do, that your own conscience told you was wrong. And your own self and your own mess kind of led you into that, and me into that. We're like that. Where does that come from? It comes from that fallen nature, doesn't it? Who's the center of mankind's life by nature? Mankind himself. We think about Lucifer when he was the devil, when he was cast out of heaven. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, here it is, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. I. That's that fallen nature. That's what that fallen nature is like, isn't it? How sad it is. I. I was thinking about that. I watched the kids last week, Saturday morning, and the cook kids, and They watched that video they had, Finding Nemo. Have you ever seen that? How many of you have seen that video, Finding Nemo? Yeah. And so toward the end there, they have the seagulls that come on there, and they're after this one little crab, you know. And of course, we all know the racket the seagulls make, you know. And of course, what's the racket they're making? Mine. Oh, here's mine. Everywhere mine. You know, that's kind of like what we are, isn't it? The center of our universe, apart from God, is going to be us. And thankfully, God helps us there. Now we'll get into the sermon. It'll go. Did I do point one already? Yeah. We have a new king. I missed that. We're a new kingdom. That's what our power is. And we are to be the God of this world, blind to the mind. That's where we were. But Colossians 1:12, we are to be giving thanks unto the Father. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so we as believers should not fear, because we serve a new king. We're not under the God of this world anymore. You know what he wanted from us? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Think about that. He wants to steal all the blessings that God has for you in this life. If you're a believer, he wants to steal from you the joy of the Lord, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. To steal, to kill, he'd just soon have you dead. Or me, or any lost person. What did God have to tell Satan when he said, "I'm going to let you persecute Job for a while"? He had to say, "But don't take his life." I don't think Satan would have messed around with Job for over a year, however long it was, if God hadn't have said that. That light would have been snuffed out just like that if God hadn't said, "But don't take his life." He'd just soon have you and me, every believer, and every lost person dead right now, and you're eternally settled. Most to be with him. To steal and to kill and destroy, not only to die physically, but he wants as many going into the eternal lake of fire with him as possible, because he has no other choice. And so out of hate and spite for God and hatred for God, he wants to take as many with him as he can. Because he knows that breaks God's heart. That's all he's about right now. And destroying us and in doing that. But we're in this new kingdom. And he's opened our eyes. The Acts 26 says, turned us from darkness to light. I like that picture of opening the eyes when you're saved. Think about that. Which of your five senses would you hold most precious? I don't know about you, but if I had to If I could only keep one of them, I'd want my sight. I'd want to keep my sight. And he says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And when our eyes were open, we received what? A sixth sense, that spiritual sense. And by the way, that's the best one. You see, if I had the choice of losing all five of my senses or being saved, I'd pick losing all five of my senses. Because I'll get them back and more when I die. Because that's the best thing. It's no longer being in God's kingdom, delivered from the power of darkness. In Ephesians 1:18, the Bible says that we have the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, that you might know all that God has for you in his word. I was studying that term there. It caught my curiosity for a moment, just studying it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And what that means is, it's talking about not a continual enlightenment, it's talking about a one-time enlightenment. It's in the perfect tense. What that means is, it's something that happened in the past that never has to be done again. It's like when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. That word finished, tetelestai, is in the perfect tense. It was done once. It never has to be done again. That's a wonderful thing. And when you got saved, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you became born again, your understanding switch got turned on. It never has to happen again. You are always able to understand God's will. But what do we need? We need knowledge. We need input. We're able to process it. We're able to learn it. We're able to apply it. But it's not there yet. Where do we go get the knowledge? We don't need to understand. We need the knowledge put in there. Where does it come from? Right here. This reading. God says, as long as my spirit's in you, when you got saved, I turned your understanding switch on. And my spirit is ready to teach you every time you open this book. Well, I have to learn how to learn. No, you don't. You have to learn what to learn. You have to just learn what God says. And the Spirit's there to help you understand how to apply it to your life and me to my life. And that doesn't change for the believer. He turned that switch on, and that's a done deal. And we can just go to the Word. But some people got saved, but they don't go back to the Bible. And so they don't know God's will. They haven't input anything. The computer program's there, but it's got no info, so to speak. Input it. Let God process it in you. He put His Spirit in you to bring that forth out of your life and my life. That powerful kingdom. We serve, we have a new king. And that turns us, it takes away that fear. Think about those disciples. After Christ was crucified, and then came the first day at evening, John 20:19, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were so fearful. But what happened? Jesus had told them, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. They had to wait for the Spirit. We don't have to wait today. We know that the moment that we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Spirit comes and lives inside of you and will never leave you. What happened to them, those that were behind locked doors hiding from the leaders? Well, just a month or so later, we find them preaching boldly in the temple. And then when that Spirit came and filled them, and then they were dragged in front of the Sanhedrin. They just healed a man that was lame from his mother's womb. And they said, everybody, and they're preaching about Jesus. And they said, and so they drag him in front of the Sanhedrin. But By what authority have you done this miracle? He didn't go somewhere and try to hide behind a door. Peter said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Peter didn't stop there. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. You can only be saved by Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. And the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, if we'll be with Jesus, he'll give us boldness. Amen. His Spirit will give us boldness to speak forth. Listen, boldness is not the absence of fear, folks. Boldness is speaking when you're afraid. Boldness is not letting the fear overcome you. There would be no cause for courage if there was no such thing as fear. But fear doesn't disable the believer. The believer knows where to go when he's fearful. Amen? Knows who to call upon when he's fearful. Some time ago, I heard an announcement over the bus, over the radio on the bus, and there was a certain bus driver got on the radio and said, "I just picked up a student. He says he goes to a certain school, and I don't remember seeing him before. What do I do?" "Well, I'll take him on to school. We'll call the school." So he gets to the school. As he's getting to the school, I hear over the radio, "That student is not to come in the school nor be on the school grounds ever." Okay. Well, he's here. What do I do now? Well, you have to let him off. You can't detain him on the bus. You have to let him off. Well, that student, the last name was the same last name as a student on my bus that I pick up from that school later. But same last name. So I'm thinking, I wonder if it's a family. And the student on my bus that has the same last name doesn't like me. Because that student doesn't obey very well, and I expect them to obey. And so we have conversations often and referrals often. And he has shared to me, frankly, how he doesn't like me. So I gathered, I'm thinking, okay, so I wonder if this is an older sibling because it's the same last name. I wonder if he's, and my mind begins, and this other kid's not even allowed on the property. So I know they're not, this other kid with the same last name is not going to that school anymore. They have graduated that school, they're older. So I'm thinking, I wonder if this student is sending someone after me. You know how the schools are today. And my mind began to wander for the rest of the day. I know there's a student in town. He got a ride in town on a bus. Wasn't supposed to. He got off the bus at the school. I'll be going back there later today. I wonder if there'll be somebody or something waiting there for me. My mind began to wander. And so I began to pray. Lord, what would you have me to do? Should I call the shop and inform them of the situation and the circumstances, that let them know? Then I thought they might think that I'm paranoid. Should I just call the police myself and say, listen, someone is in town who's who at least who's has a family member who doesn't like me to one bit. this person has come in town on a bus, so they needed a ride in town. They've been let off in town at that school, so maybe I should do that. So I began to pray. I didn't know what to do. Or should I just let it go and just trust you, God? What do I do? And that, different things, there's a couple of different things that I could have done. Neither one of them necessarily right or wrong in themselves. Kind of like Nehemiah when he went to Jerusalem. He accepted the help of the army of the king. Ezra went to Jerusalem. He didn't accept the help of the army of the king. But both of them was God's will at that time. Don't think it had been wrong for me to call the police or call the company. Don't know. Just didn't know. Or just to trust the Lord. So I began to pray. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have the wisdom. I said, God, I have no idea. But as best I know my heart, if you show me what to do, I'll do it. And I had to leave it at that and go on studying. See if I can find that real quick. You mind if I play that? I had my phone off during that day, and I got a text. I turned my phone back on after I'd been working for a while. I realized my phone was off because it was dead and it had to charge. I got a text from Brother Charlie. And hopefully you'll be able to hear this. I just thought, well, it's Brother Charlie, open up, listen to it. Here's the text. You probably won't be able to see it, but stop. Go back. Oh, let's see here. One second, I get it. Where'd it go? You find it on your phone first, Brother Charlie. Here it is. Okay, man. Yeah, I think we got it. I won't worry about the picture. Here's what he sent me. Kind of one of those cute things. It's got like a little bear. He's given this these words here.
A word for protection. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. 1,000 may fall on your left, 10,000 on your right, but none of this evil word shall come anywhere near you. You are heavily defended. You are heavily protected. You are the blessed of the blessed. You are a child of the Most High God. You dwell under the shadow of the Almighty God. Signs and wonders follow you. God bless you.
That's the text I got from Brother Charlie. I said, thank you, God. I got my answer. God was telling me, don't worry about it. I got this one covered. And I didn't do anything, and I didn't say anything. Never heard a word about that again. Listen, when God, we're doing the will of God, we don't have to be fearful, amen? We can trust God. And it's amazing what God will use sometimes, amen, just to speak to us. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he gives us that courage. And like I say, it's not always, he gives us courage to live the kingdom life here. That is, we live for Christ, whether it brings earthly blessings upon us or not. Whether it brings health and welfare our way or not. We live for Jesus. Paul wrote in 1:20, Philippians 1:20, his earnest expectation and his hope was that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. However, Lord, you want to be magnified, however you want to be glorified, you will give me the strength. And if it's by death, I'll have the strength I need. And if it's by life, then I'll have the deliverance that I need. But that you be glorified. But that you be glorified. What an amazing thing. And I think I may have to... I'll just give these real quick tonight. We'll end it, but I may get into these a little bit deeper tonight. We have a new course. He's given us the power. We have a new king. He's given us power. We're in a new kingdom. We've been given the spirit of love. We have a new course. A new commandment I give unto you, John 13:34, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. You see, what it's an outward course. What was our old kingdom? Me, mine. That was our old kingdom. Now our new kingdom is what? It's others. It's loving God and loving others. We have a new course that gives us boldness. By this shall all men know you, my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's that outward course. The Bible says in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I don't want to fill you up to fill you up. I want to fill you up to pour you out. I want it to be coming in you and out of you all your life long to all those that are around you. What a challenge. What a challenge. We have a new course. And then thirdly, and finally, we have a new clarity. A new clarity. We begin in the spirit of power. We're in a new kingdom of love. We're on a new course. And the spirit of a sound mind. We have a new clarity. Our minds, our understanding has been opened. He's opened our eyes. I talked about our eyes being enlightened. The understanding has been clicked on. And we can understand these things. In Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through faith in Christ Jesus. And so we have that new clarity. We have an understanding. Listen, God is in control. I know why I'm here now. To be a witness for Jesus and to be like him in whatever job I have and whatever with all my relationships, to be as he would be in that relationship and all the work that I do, to do it as he would do it, to be the neighbor that he would be, to be the family member that he would be, to be the church member that he would be, to be the husband that he would be, and whatever he would lead, to be like him. That's that new clarity. And by the way, he is in control. He is in control. And we can submit all things to him. And so all these things aid us. And when we feel that sense of fear, we gather it all up and we take it to him. God, you've got the power and I'm in your kingdom. And I got a new purpose. It's not all about me. It's all about you. It's all about others. And by the way, I've got a clarity. I understand these things. And I know where I'm going when I die. And I know, Paul says, I know all the sufferings right now are what? Not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall follow. Whatever suffering we have here, we're going to get rewarded for that in heaven. We're going to say, all this for that? You know, we get older. As we get older, and most of us could raise our hands, we're seeing that life is a vapor thing. It becomes very real, doesn't it? It becomes so real. Well, guess what? When we get in heaven, that life is a vapor thing. It's going to seem like nothing then. What we feel it now, getting older, when we're standing on heaven's shores looking back saying, that little blip of suffering down there, now I'm in eternity, now I'm in a new body. I never feel pain again, never feel sorrow again. And perhaps be able to remember, if we could, I don't know if we would be able to remember that little blip of suffering, but we'd say, that little bit of suffering for all this? Whatever rewards it might be that come, everybody who say gets eternal life, but whatever rewards come on top of that, that little bit of suffering for this? That's what Paul's saying. Not worthy to be compared. I won't even mention the suffering anymore. Don't feel worthy of what you gave me for it, Lord. Not even worth speaking about. And by the way, that was the Apostle Paul who said that. That's humbling, isn't it? That's humbling. And we have all that in Christ. Listen, he loves us. And he's taking care of us. And he has got great things for us, folks. And he wants us to be bold people that love him and love others and reach out to him for all that we need to be all the Christian that he wants us to be while we're waiting for his return. And by his grace, let's go to that throne and keep filled up. Amen. And keep trusted. Keep going. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And God, you have provided in so many ways. And just able to share with the children in Sunday school how many ways you provided. And we thought about back on how you cared for people just in the issue of food in so many powerful ways. Manna in the desert, ravens dropping bread and meat, a widow's barrel and cruse of oil, those 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. And God, that was nothing for thee. And yet, food is our very life in this physical body. You take such wonderful care of us, God. You'll give us these lesser things, but you want so much more to give us the spiritual things, to where we become so spiritually rich that we see that we really don't belong in this place anymore. This isn't our final home. We are going to be with you. We have riches that this world cannot define and cannot grasp and cannot take away. And we can begin to enjoy them now by faith in our hearts as we look forward to faith disappearing into sight, Lord, when you come for us. And help us to remember that and to draw closer to you day by day and glorify your name. Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.